And but praise the Lord. Amen. And that's not very many conferences you go to where you get to eat steak. I mean, you know, when I heard that, I said, I don't know. I don't even care if I preach as long as I can eat steak. Amen. That's a good deal, man. And come here and eat steak. All those people are going to miss out on it. But praise the Lord. Brother Larson and Mrs. Larson, and I've known them for a long time. And praise God for the folks here. And Brother Cooley and I, we used to be teaching at the school together, do all sorts of stuff. And Brother Burchett, and back in the heyday, Brother Baskew, amen. And Brother Whittington, the old Windsor Hill crew, amen. Back in the heyday. And I tell you what, I loved it, and the Lord used it in my life. And use it, and praise God for it. And I thank God for all the influences that the Lord used in my life to allow me to be able to continue on and to preach the gospel and to preach revival. We need revival, amen? Thank God for that message last night, Brother Angel, Brother Davis. Those were revival messages. And we need that revival, that renewed zeal, vigor, vision, renewed voice. The church today has been lulled asleep. Lulled asleep by money, merchandise, and the mechanics of this world has lulled the church to sleep. We better wake up and allow the Spirit of God. Now, you got an open water container there, and that's going to fall on my foot. Amen? That'll fall on my foot. I'm shaking up. I was preaching in the church one time, and they had an open container, and I'd wiggle up and it'd fall on my foot. And then put it back the next night. I'm preaching, it'll fall on my foot. I finally threw a fit. I said, listen, you can't put this open container in a pulpit. Get right with God. Amen. So the next night, they had a container in there. It was a sippy cup. They gave me a sippy cup. Oh, man. I threw it at the pulpit preacher. Give me a sippy cup. And they gave me a gift, too. It was a gummy bear vitamins for men. Gummy bear vitamins for men? What is this world coming to? I don't eat gummy bear vitamins. Amen? I was born in Yuma, Arizona. I was born out there in the desert. I was born, the cactus was my home. The Gila monster was my pet. I mean, the desert was my chew between my cheek and gum. I chewed on the sand, amen? And then they want to give me gummy bears. but praise the Lord. But that's what's happening. You know, men are losing their identity. Women, too, switching it up, back and forth. We need to pray and ask God to help us, amen? But I'm going to read out of the book of Acts chapter 4. I'll read a passage of Scripture here. And I'm not taking a whole lot of time. And I get Brother Angel up here and to preach the gospel. But here in the book of Acts. And I love the book of Acts. A book of action. Amen. It's a book of revival. It's a book of action. And the early church had it going on. And the Bible says here in Acts chapter number 4, I want you to notice there in verse number 29, and now, Lord, behold, their threatenings. Oh, listen, that's coming, amen? Yeah. And they're threatening the church with all sorts of things. And I remember a couple years ago, some governor or something wanted all the preachers to hand in their sermon outlines. And, so they can check them out. Threatenings. And they're going to start threatening the church. They're going to label Independent Fundamental Baptists as terrorists. That's right. Who's with me? If you stay true to the truth. Now, if you kind of just blend right in with it, buddy, then you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. But we as God's people, we don't camouflage. Amen? Yeah. We're out there. Why? What does the Bible say? And the threat, and grant unto the servants with all boldness. Boldness. And you read in verse number 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter. And then you read down verse number 31. And the Bible says, the word of God with, they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Oh, listen, you're never too old to be bold. Amen? That's not the message. That's not the message, but that's part of the message. But I wanted you to see here. And it had the boldness of God by the stretching forth the hand to heal and the sign and the wonders, and it may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Amen. And Jesus, that's the answer, Jesus. And so they were preaching the gospel, these Christian people, and the men of God standing up with all boldness, preaching the word of God, and had the impact. And that's what we need today in our churches. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. We need to shake some things up, don't we? Shake it up. And shake and bake, neighbor, and get on fire for God. And they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What about that? And they spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 32, and a multitude of them that believed were one heart. They were of one heart. They were of one soul. They're one way to heaven, Jesus. On the way to truth and the life. Amen. No man can have father by me. We have one faith. Amen. One God. Amen. One Bible. Amen. And a King James Bible. And they had oneness of heart and of soul. And that was the early church. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed. Oh, how possessive we get with our possessions. People get so possessive with things. And so, but they didn't have that problem back then. They didn't worry about their materials and all of those things that, sometimes call people to lull asleep and get comfortable in their Christianity was his own. And why? We are all bought with a price. We belong to Jesus. Amen. Then they all had things. Notice what it says. They had all things common. Who's with me? Say amen. And it said, notice the Bible states that the early church had all things common. That meant that they were unified. Oh, listen, we need that today. Unified in there, and they were in step. They were together, unified in their worship, their work. They were unified in their worship. And they were unified in their wisdom. They were unified in their wealth. They didn't argue about how the money was to be spent or allocated. The Bible says they had all things common. That's what gave them, as the Bible describes and tells us here in the following verse, in verse 33, and with great power. Amen. Great power. Oh, listen, that's what we need today. And I'll preach a message entitled The Uncommon Common Baptist Church. The Uncommon Common Baptist Church. And by that I mean it's very rare to see a Baptist church that has all things common. And that's why we don't have the impact that we had today. Why? Oh, listen, everybody's going different directions in different ways. But the early church, I mean, they had all these things common. That's why God blessed them and used them. It's division that weakens a church. Division, a critical, complaining, clamorous, odious, obnoxious, overbearing type of attitude. A church divided against itself cannot stand. The early church, and it had those distinct those that allowed it to be the church that God established, that the Bible says he purchased with his own blood. The early church, he purchased it with his own blood. That's how precious, that's how important the church was to the Lord Jesus Christ. But today we find churches that they don't have things. And I'm not talking about everybody dressing the same, everybody driving the same vehicle or anything like that. But they had that camaraderie. Amen. That a church needs today in order for it to have the impact that God wants it to have. And that is what gave the early church its identity. Yeah. That's what I identified. And so today, that's what God wants. Independent Fulham Baptist Church today. I mean, sometimes it's hard tell the difference. Churches today and the colleges that are putting out preachers, they want to have like a more of a non-traditional Independent Baptist Church. Who with me? Say amen. Oh, listen, it had its identity, its character, its integrity, its personality, its distinctiveness, its uniqueness. The early church is a blueprint by which all other churches must follow. We've gotten away from the blueprint. We've gotten away from these distinctive characteristics that make up the church of God, the Independent Baptist Church that God uses to reach a multitude with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The uncommon, common Baptist Church. That's what we need today in our country. Churches like this one and churches others, churches that have that distinctiveness. Who's with me? Yeah. That when you walk in the door, you can tell the difference from worldliness and what true biblical Christianity is all about. Who with me? Say amen. And some distinctive characteristics about this early church that we need to follow in our life. If we're to have the revival, if we're to have that true nature that God wants us to have, that'll bring honor and glory, that people can recognize the one true God. Yeah. Amen. And know what real biblical Christianity is all about. I'm sorry to say, it's fading away. True biblical Christianity fading away. It's hard to tell the difference anymore. But what made the early church that distinctive nature that it had, I believe it was because of its power. Who's with me? Oh, listen, what's lacking today is the power of God. We don't seek the power of God anymore. Preachers don't seek the power of God. When they get up and they preach the word of God, they don't get in the Bible and they don't dig it out. They don't scrape it out and they search it out. No, they want to go to Google rather than God. Come on, who's with me? Say amen. It's exactly right. And oh, the temptation, but the early church had that power. Souls saved, baptized, lives changed. People were added unto the church daily. That's the early church. That's the church that God wants you. The early church had that power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. And that's what God wants. The witness for God in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, under the uttermost parts of the earth. You remember Stephen when they stoned Stephen. Stephen, full of faith and power, did wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 4, verse number 7. And when they had sent them, set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? The power of God was in the early church. That's what made it reaching the people and people recognizing that power, its uniqueness. What power is that? Oh, listen, the lost crowd need to see God's people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The power of God was revealed when they come together and prayed, supplication, giving thanks to the work of God. It was revealed in their preaching. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. It is the power of God. Amen. Who's with me? Say amen. Amen. Man, that thing falling out of the pulpit. What's wrong with people? Amen. Rings, earring. You got like your earring here, Brother Larson. But amen. I remember back in 1973, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My mom and dad's marriage about falling apart. And alcohol, all sorts of stuff involved in it. And so we moved out of the city, out into the suburbs. And so they decided, my mom and dad, we probably need to get some Christianity. We're gonna end up getting a divorce. And so I played hockey with these fellas, and they were good boys. And they were sharp looking. They talked to the coach with respect. And, you know, yes, sir, no, sir. And they had good, decent haircuts. And then we'll ask them and talk to their dad. My dad talked to their dad. My dad was impressed by that. And so what's that all about? Well, we go to the First Baptist Church of Rosemont. So my dad decided that's where we're going to go and find out about it. So they went to the First Baptist Church of Rosemont. And Pastor Ed Johnson was standing up there. He's an old leather lung fiery preacher. And I remember we had metal chairs. He'd jump up on a chair. First time ever there. Jump up on a chair. Hey, we're preaching. His face had turned red. His face had turned purple. I thought his head was going to explode. Now, for a teenager, that'd have been kind of cool, you know. Watching somebody's head blow up. But I was like, what in the world? The guy reminds me of my hockey coach. My hockey coach, he was bald-headed, and his favorite word, he'd yell at us while we're out there playing, shoot, 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 shoot. He wanted us to shoot the puck at the net, and his face would get red, and he had a bald head, and that cold air would hit that, and steam would come off of his head. We got a steamy head, bloodshot eyeballs, red face, and he's telling us, shoot. And Pastor Johnson was looking just like that when he was up there preaching. I thought we'll never go back. We went back Sunday night. Yeah. And we went back Wednesday, and we went back one long. My mom and dad got saved. Amen. Why? Because that old-fashioned, dead-winded preaching of the Word of God. And that's what God ordained. That's what God anointed and appoints in our pulpits, in our churches, and the preaching of God and its power. Power in preaching, power in prayer. When they prayed, the place was shaken. When's the last time you've been in a prayer meeting like that? Amen. Where the Holy Spirit of God came down and filled people up. The uncommon common Baptist church had that. Who's with me? And prayed and a passion for souls. Know how they wanted to reach people with the gospel. Peter stood up with boldness and preached. 3,000 people got saved. Later on, 2,000 people got saved and added unto the church. That's the first century. That's the power of God. Why? They had all things common. Who'd women say amen? And so that was the early church. And that's the church that God has established. And appointed and anointed for us to have that type of ministry and that old fashioned. It's not unpopular. That's the devil. Mark it down. People are looking for churches like that. They want to be told the truth. Who's with me? Amen. They want to be told the truth. And the early church and its power that gave it its distinctiveness. The early church and its people. Who's with me? Say amen. Amen. Oh, the Bible says there, you know, they were out there preaching, and John and Peter and those people were preaching the gospel, and they took them aside and incarcerated them, and they began to harass them and threaten them with all sorts of different threatenings. But it finally came to the place where they couldn't argue against the power of God, so they had to let them go. Verse 22, but the Bible says, for the men were above 40 years old, in whom the miracle of healing was showed. And by what power did you heal that man? Well, the power of Jesus. Amen. But they couldn't argue it. He's talking. He's walking. He was blind, but now he can see. Lame, but now he can walk. Oh, that's the power of God. And then by what authority? By what power? Well, they had to let him go. And it's interesting to me in verse number 23, and being let go, they went unto their own, you had a circle, not only their own company. And they went unto their own company. Notice, when they released them from jail, they went to their own company. Now, this word company is related to a military term. Amen. A platoon. A brigade, a band. We need to understand we are in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Soldiers of the cross. Yes. They went unto their own personal particular, peculiar, strange, odd. Who's with me? That's Independent Baptist. If you're a first century Christian, amen. Deuteronomy 14:2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a what? Peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. And he said, go unto your own company. What's the problem in the church today? We're fraternizing with the enemy. There's no fraternizing with the enemy. Isn't that right, Brother Davis? Yeah. Now people do that. And get involved. And they say, the enemy, what's the enemy? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is an enemy of God. You need to ask yourself, who are you keeping company with? We need to be careful who we run with. Amen. Who we let influence us. Our doctrine, our direction, our demeanor, our diction, our philosophies, our teachings, our principles, our precepts. Oh, listen to me. We got Christian people in our Independent Baptist churches fraternizing with the enemy. Amen. We got preachers claim to be Independent Fundamental Baptists fraternizing with the enemy. And too much worldliness in the church today. And too much of it. And you remember in Numbers chapter 16 about Korah and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up. His house and all the men that what? Appertaineth unto Korah. And all their goods, they that appertaineth to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. That word appertaineth. Hey, listen, many times you're guilty by association. These people probably didn't, you know, they weren't as vocal as Korah. Korah stirred up a crowd to go against Moses, stirred those people up. And Moses said, that's enough. God said, that's enough. Open up the earth, swallowed up Korah, all the family, all the possession, everything. And those people that stood with them, those people that were fraternizing with them, amen, they suffered the same fate. That's what's going to happen. Many times when we mess around with worldly crowd, worldly philosophies, worldly entertainment, worldly type of things, people, places, worldly type of philosophies, the Bible says in Nehemiah 10, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that what? Separated themselves from the people of the land unto the law of God. Their wives and their sons and their daughters, everyone having knowledge, having understanding, they cleave, the Bible says, to their brethren. Are you with me? They're nobles. Entered into a curse, into an oath, to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, servant of God, and observed to do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and his judgments and his statutes. Nehemiah walked in there and said, we are going to start serving God. Amen. And you need to separate yourself from all those people and be separated unto God. And Nehemiah, in that day, they rebuilt the walls, everything, and they had revival. Who's with me? Amen. Yes. They stopped fraternizing with the enemy. Oh, listen, the early church and the power, the early church and its people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Who's with me? Say amen. My company. What's my company? What do I run with? Oh, the old-fashioned, independent fundamental, the old-time religion, the inspired word of God, that old-time preaching, that old-time sowing, that old-time missions, running buses, having courage, conviction, compassion, having a burden for soul. That's my company. Not this liberal, a sophisticated type of crowd that's trying to figure out how we can, you know, just be more pliable so that people won't, you know, reject us. And you can attract flies. More flies with honey than you can vinegar. is what a preacher told me. I said, yeah, you're going to attract more flies with manure too. Well, who women say amen? That's right. That's my company. We had a guy in our church, and this one, Brother Hiles, was going through his problems and all of that, and he had a tape from that guy Sumner, who raised all of those things against the man of God, and he was passing his tape out. He came over from my dad and said, I got this tape, Brother Murphy, I want you to listen to. And my dad, I was standing there, and my dad looked at him and said, listen, you take that tape and you stick it in your ear. Amen. He said, I don't listen to that garbage. I don't fraternize with those kind of people. My dad, you know, he was in the military, Air Force. You know, he's one of those guys, you know, kind of in that area, that gray area of old school and caveman. Amen. Today we have men that had to have their man cave. I got to have my man cave. So I can go down in the corner, be by myself, and watch things like that. The whole house, the whole yard, everything was my dad's man cave. Now, how many times you told my brother and I, get out of the house. Go out there and do something. Don't come home till 5 o'clock for supper. I remember one time we were out there, and I flipped over a bike. I broke my arm. I'm sitting on the side of the road, my arm hanging down. It broke, and my buddy said, let's get you home. I said, no, I can't. It's not 5 o'clock yet. I was raised by a man. Who's with me? Say amen. By a man, neighbor. But, oh, he got a heart for God, started serving God, got on a bus route, serving that bus route for 37 years, bringing boys and girls to Jesus. Thousands of those young people saved as a result of someone who wasn't going to fraternize with the enemy. Amen. Amen. The early church and its people, its power. The early church and its persecution. Who's with me? Say amen. The early church was persecuted terribly. And many lost everything that they had, and the possessions and things of that nature. Today, Christians are soft. I mean, we want everything done for us, everything handed to us. We want everything. Now, we want to, where the car just drives itself. Yeah. You don't have to put your hands on the steering wheel. Hey, if I'm riding with a guy and he doesn't have his hands on the steering wheel and he's over there like this, and I look, I'm going to punch him in the head. Put your hands on the steering wheel. Then they got cars that parallel parked themselves. Who's with me? Huh? That's parallel parked. Back in 1974, I got my driver's license, and I went, and I had an old 67 Chevy Impala with three on the tree. How many know what I'm talking about when I say three on a tree? The shifter was up on the steering column, and I parallel parked that car with the shifter on the column. Why? My dad taught me how to do it. But today, just push a button, does itself. That's the society we live in today. Everybody wants everything handed, done, soft. Oh, listen, what's going to happen? Christians today, oh, we need to understand and recognize that we want that true biblical nature, that particularity. We want to have that. People are going to recognize the difference. The church is going to be persecuted. But we don't want to be persecuted. We don't really, you know, have persecution going on in our churches today. Out on your marquee, put out there on your marquee what you believe about abortion. And see how much you're persecuted. But people don't want to do that. People don't want to get persecuted. They just want to live, you know, just be comfortable, fine, just did it. But that was the early church. That it had all things common. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven for such as persecuted they, the prophets which were before you. Oh, the persecution in the early church resulted in what? They went everywhere preaching the gospel. We've gotten too comfortable, as Brother Davis preached about. Our country was birthed out of persecution. The signers of the Declaration of Independence lost everything. 39 out of the 56 signers used on a regular basis hear old-time preaching. They used to hear those old-time preachers get up. That's what motivated them to have that unity, that camaraderie, to have that energy to want to be used to bring freedom to our countries, and we enjoy it today. Why? They set themselves apart, neighbor. Willing to suffer that persecution and die for a cause. Oh, the early church, we need to understand you can't have resurrection without crucifixion. No more than you can have revival without persecution. Sacrifice. Who's with me? Oh, the uncommon, common Baptist church. I thank God that that was the type of church. When my mom and dad got in that church, First Baptist Church of Rosemont, Dr. Dad Johnson, I thank God that Brother Johnson had that uncommon spirit. I mean, where the people had all things common in that church. And oh, how God used that church back in that day, a town of 1,000. We ran 800 on a regular basis. Who's with me? Amen. And the church is still going today. Now, it may not run as many, but what's happening today in society. But it's still a church of camaraderie and unity. Let's determine to have that type of Christianity.